Do we have any question concerning water baptism or concerning the faith I have just spoken about?
Good day, sir.
Yes.
I've been baptized twice. The first one was in Catholic Church. The second one was here. But before and after that time, the belief of the death of Jesus Christ was not actually in me. I was not convinced that Jesus actually died. But along the line, these few weeks, I came to realize the actuality of his death. So, sir, in this case, can I be rebaptized?
Praise God. Your question is a very important question. There are many of us that jump and enter the water without a proper understanding of what you are doing when you enter that water. The formula for salvation, is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. This is how it goes. If we can read it. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for something, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is eternal life. Now, the first stage is repentance. And you can never truly repent until you have understood who Jesus is and what he has done for you. So if you did not repent and you jumped and entered the water, you have only entered to swim. Because you entered a dry sinner, you came out a wet sinner. No benefit. So brother, now swim, you go swim. Go back now and baptize, not swim. Now that you have realized, I would have liked to know how you have now found out who Jesus is. How did you find out?
Praise the Lord. I came across in the Bible few days ago where the Bible says to some he has compassion, to others he called them with fear. So presently I'm passing through some medical challenges. Then instantly I realized that God has called me to repentance by fear.
Thank you. God bless you. So we are waiting for you by the water side. You baptized wrongly in Bride Assembly. There are people that come here and they baptize wrongly. Because you are not baptizing only after repentance. You must first repent before you enter that water. Yes.
Church, praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Like we that are going out to do evangelism. So I met a man that said I should pray for him. So on the process of leading him Christ, I asked him, have you been baptized? He said yes, in the name of the Son and the Father. So I said he's wrong. So we now argue. So I want you to please, in the Bible, just for me to have something.
Which church do you attend?
I'm a member here, sir.
For how long?
Just my husband stopped me a little bit. By the grace of God, I'm almost 1 year plus, sir.
You see, All of us who are in the ministry, listen, listen. Do you know why anti-robbery squad of the police, they wear bulletproof jacket? Eh? In preparation, in case they go jam, and then they fire, they call fire back. Eh? You don't go get them. What I'm saying is that don't go on evangelism until you are armed with two things. You must be armed with two things. Number one, you must be armed with the knowledge of salvation. Because you will meet people who are very smart with their errors. Some will even try to prove to you there is no God. You need to arm yourself with that knowledge first. Then secondly, you must be armed with the anointing of God, of the Holy Ghost. Because you will jam people that will try you in the spirit. Principalities and powers that will enter the spirit and make yeye of you. You are coming to say, only Jesus has power. Let me prove to you that there's another power somewhere. So you must have that grace to bite and to cast out. Praise the Lord. And if you don't have that, you will pack up and you will be suffering. That's why some people say, I was into evangelism, pastor. There's nothing I've done. Nothing. I don't know. And then more problems began. Only after I started evangelism. Why? Because you were not yet armed for it. Praise the Lord. So since you are a member of this church, we have taken teachings several times on water baptism. Get the tape. The tapes are there. Get one so that you can listen carefully and you'll be able to know how to answer them. It's very, very important. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Sir, please, we talked about faith this morning, and it really gave me enlightenment on faith deeply. So my question is, if a person has genuine faith, and now, and he still, after having a genuine faith, he's still facing challenges here and there. And sometimes people tell him that these challenges are from, background, a father's foundations. Now, my question is, what is the clear standing of that person? What should be the clear standing of that person who has a genuine faith that do not concerning that past things that his father worships, that he is not worshiped presently. Two, sometimes I met some people who are prophets, and they told me that, brother, there are things that happens in your father's family, and we saw what they used in doing it, that they used this, they used that, that you ought to give them money to buy that particular thing, which they used in doing it, so that they will return it back to they will return, so that I will send it back through the name of Jesus Christ. But I look into the scripture, I could not find it, but I need a help from you. Please, can you balance it from the faith you're talking about?
That's all I'm speaking today now. Listen, brother, I'm also aware that there are a lot of these ministers of God all around the world that create more problems instead of finding solution by the kind of counsel they give. See, there are some of them that will want to tell you the cause of your problem. Okay. Listen, I have said this several times before. If you come to me, yes, and God opens my eyes to see the cause of your problem, There must be solution.
Amen.
I repeat, there must be solution. Do we know God? Does God entertain us? He does not entertain us. Why will God show me your problem? I shook my sister's hand and something flashed. Why will God show me that problem concerning her here now while I just held her hands? The reason he showed me, he will show me because he has given me the grace to take care of that problem.
Amen.
Any prayer I pray now concerning that problem is gone.
Amen.
Because he did not tell me what to do. He can also solve that problem by now telling me what to do. He will tell me what to do. But if he does not tell me what to do, then he expects me to use the grace he has given me to handle that matter.
Amen.
That is why he shows me. So all this one, so many of you have come to me, Pastor, I have gone anywhere I go. They will say an ancestral course. Anywhere you go, they say the ancestral course. Pastor, I need prayer. I have never attended to any of you who came to me like that. I will tell you, go to the person, where see him now. Make it deliver you. Because God didn't tell me that you have ancestral problem. So what do you want me to do? Because, praise God. You don't know your position as a Christian. Now, God can also show you your problem in a dream.
Yes, sir.
In a revelation. If he shows you, he is giving you prayer point and area of focus.
Amen.
You will now face that area and attack it with the same grace he has given you, backed up by a knowledge that you should not be under the control of that spirit. So that is how I can help you now. The only way I can help you is praise the Lord. Lord, show me the way out. They say I get this problem. Go back to the same God. What is the way out? And he will show you. God bless you. There's a question from Enugu. Brother Emmanuel, Shalom Church. Can a believer pray for an unbeliever who has faith but have not yet been baptized and the person receives healing? Since you said that only believers are entitled to the power in the blood of Jesus. Now listen. Listen. This is how God works. And I have explained it here several times. I think in John chapter 6 or so, where Jesus Christ fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. And 12 baskets were left extra. Listen carefully, because that same condition is here. Then the next day, they came again. Looking for Jesus. He was not there. They pursued him to where he was. And they were saying, Master, we have been looking for you. And Jesus Christ, can we read it? John chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. This was his reply to them. And I've explained this several times here before, where I emphasize something I caught here, that Normally we say you are all coming to church because of miracles. You are running everywhere because of miracles. But here Jesus said, it is not because of the miracles you are following me. It is because of the bread you ate. So, what is he saying there? He's saying that there is a reason why he allowed that miracle. He did that miracle. The miracle is supposed to cause your attention to God. So the unbeliever, when you go to pray for an unbeliever, God may answer that person. I say may. He's not entitled to it. It will only be for the purpose of God. Now, you will answer him and grant him healing, grant him deliverance, instant one. So that when he's delivered, he can now come after you and ask about that God that healed me. And from there, give his life to Christ. That is the reason why God will answer your prayer for an unbeliever. Praise God. And I have experienced that several times. I have gone to pray for somebody who came to me looking for money years back. Looking for money for, what do you call it? Gonorrhea. I saw it, all his pants, short knicker was wet with blood. The blood was just coming out. He has to be urinating five minutes like that. No money to buy drugs. I came to me for drugs. And I told him that what I have for you is more than drugs. He said, hey, what is it? I told him, I will pray for you and this thing will stop. And the man looked at me and said, ordinary prayer? And I said, yes, ordinary prayer. I said, but you will promise me, if you receive healing, will you give your life to Christ? He said, ordinary prayer, go pray, then the thing will stop. I said, yes. If I ask Jesus to heal you, and he heal you now, will you give your life to Christ? He said, yes now. He said, yes now. I said, you say yes? He said, I lay my hand on his lower abdomen. It was not up to 2 minutes prayer. I said, you can go. I was still around there. Not up to 1 hour after, the guy ran to me and told me that he has noticed the blood stopped. And God healed him. Praise the Lord. And he gave his life to Christ. That's what I'm talking about. So Brother Emmanuel from Enugu, or where? That is when God... That is why evangelists go without power. So evangelists go without power. We went out for evangelism and one of our ministers, we used to call him Micaiah. And the bus stop at Yaba bus stop. Joelegba area. That area. And everybody was, we were at the bus stop evangelism, they were making noise up and down. And then they scattered themselves. Then people gathered, and he was ministering and preaching. And a woman was antagonizing him, snubbing him, because he said it is wrong. You women wearing trousers. Your pastor told you it doesn't matter, but the Bible is against it. Then that woman made an insulting statement. Then he turned and looked at her. I say, as you spoke that, God is not happy with you. You are not only guilty of wearing that trouser. God told me you have collected somebody's husband. You have broken a home. The woman's husband is now living with you. And she's there crying. She has taken your name to the mountain. Oh. He said, am I telling the truth? Or I'm lying. And she was trying to talk again. Her name burst forth. He said, this is your name. This is your address. That is the power that goes with evangelism. And that woman's mouth closed. And she went and was waiting for the program to be over. And after she came to the minister. Praise the Lord. That is why I say you must arm yourself before you go out. Through that, that woman was able to know, true, this is God. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
My question is about water baptism, sir. As we read in the Bible, that the Bible in the book of Acts tell us that before you do baptism, you will first of all repent before you do water baptism.
Sure.
Who signifies the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Please, my question is this. Somebody, as my brother says, somebody who baptized without being repented, can the person still be saved?
My Bible, my authority is the Bible. We read where he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you are telling me that can somebody not baptize and be saved? Is that what you are asking?
No, I mean somebody that did not repent and yet baptized, can the person still be saved?
Praise God. You cannot baptize unless you have repented. I think that's the question I have answered. I've answered that. You must first repent. If not, your baptism is useless. Thank you.
So that means the person you have to re-baptize.
Sure, must baptize.
Okay, thank
proper
you, sir.
Baptism. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, good morning, sir.
God bless you.
I did my baptism here. And this is the only place I came and I came out.
Can you talk louder?
This is the only place I came and I baptized willingly on my own.
Yes.
Delta State, where I lived, most churches, they came looking for me in order to baptize me, but I don't know what was pushing me away. But I came here, I came out willingly, and I did it. But sir, there is something confusing here. The other day I was sleeping. Although initially I was been having that very ministration, I should go and redo it, and I don't know why, which I know too well that the way Bride Assembly does the baptism is according to the...
You receive a ministration, you should go and redo it.
Yes.
Now, if you know God talks to you through that gift, you should obey Him.
Okay, sir.
You should obey Him, go again and do it. Whatever went wrong with it, you don't know, but He said, go and baptize. I will go and rebaptize. After all, the thing they peel water, they peel skin. Water, they peel skin.
No.
Do you have any problem entering water and coming out? No. Hey, go and do it again.
So, after, although I've been hearing that and I ignored it, either last week I was sleeping and I saw you in my dream. You took me for an evangelism. And You gave me a Bible and took me on earth on the altar to outside open evangelism. And after ministration, you still tell me the same thing that I should go and redo that.
So go and baptize.
Okay, sir, I will do that. But sir, in this very case, what is this very one again? And I kept quiet. So, the next time I dreamt again, I saw a kind of conference and all they were on white. And I don't know what brought me there. A man as a king was in their middle. They were all on white. And the man as a king were still ministering, telling me the same thing. But as he was saying that to me, my whole body was on fire. I was really burning as if there was...
Saying what?
The same baptism issue.
Okay. In a matter of two or three now, the matter is established. So go and baptize. And then when you finish, go and tell the Lord, I have done it all. So fulfill your purpose in my life. Finish.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Please.
Okay, Brother Dixon from Ondo State. He said, Brother Moses, I was baptized at Presbyterian Church. I want to know if I baptized wrongly or not. And apart from Bride Assembly, are there other churches that baptize correctly? Oh, yes. Every Presbyterian church, whether it is Presbyterian church or any other church, we are here to teach you correct water baptism. You use that. If you believe what we are teaching is correct and is scriptural, then you compare it with what or how you were baptized in your church. If it is wrong, then go and re-baptize according to your knowledge now. Now, whether other churches baptize like that, correctly, like Brother Assembly, all the followers of the ministry of William Branham baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are everywhere, including Ondo Town, where you are now. They are there. They are there. In fact, Nigeria here, yeah, every state capital, they are there. They baptize correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And also, there's a group of people that are referred to as oneness. They are not followers of the ministry of William Branham, but they believe that baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the name of the Father, Jesus is the name of the Son, Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. That is why baptism must be in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the baptism, the knowledge that differentiates us from so many other Trinitarian churches, especially, and the evangelical churches. So, correct water baptism, yes. I'm also aware that I heard Chris Oyakhilome saying that the name of our God is Jesus. And I read a little pamphlet where he wrote there that baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we are not the only ones that baptize incorrectly. But 90% of churches baptize wrongly. Very, very wrongly. And it will surprise you that the big, big, big names that are respected worldwide, that they baptize wrongly. Yes, you.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, please, on the course of your teaching, at times you use our biological family to explain something.
My biological family?
No, our biological family.
Our, okay.
Yes. To explain some the body of Christ. That's the servants, that all these pastors and the rest of things are the servants' position, and the child. And then you even mentioned today, but you said also that you are a servant of God and also a child of God. And there is another position I also want to know. A man of God. Please, these three positions, I want you to explain to me.
What? Man of God.
Man of God.
Servant
of God. And a child of God, please. And their duties in the body of Christ.
Their duty. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what that has got to do with water ministration today, healing and deliverance, but,
no.
But a man of God is anyone, including woman of God. Man or woman of God is any man or woman that God chooses to use for a purpose, for his purpose. And that man of God or woman of God is also called a servant of God. Then we have the child of God, the son of God. The son of God is the heir apparent. Amen.
Amen.
The son of God, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, the son of God is like the son of your father. So, you have your father, he has his children, and he has his servants. So, your father is your father because he gave birth to you. But the servant is your father's servant because he has employed him. He has engaged him with a specific work to do for him. And after that, you will pay him according to his agreement. But he cannot inherit the kingdom. He is therefore not a heir apparent. He is not part of the inheritance of the Father. He is not part of the kingdom. The one that will be part of the kingdom are those that are born into it. So that now, but also now, a son of God can be so trusted with God, by God, that God can entrust a certain responsibility for him in his kingdom to take care of. So you become both a servant of God and a son of God. So these two categories exist.
Thank you, sir.
In Christianity.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. There are servants of God that have nothing to do with heaven.
Praise
they will
the Lord.
Never go to heaven. Sister Doris from Benue State, Nigeria. Sir, what if one is not opportune to listen to this orientation about Correct Water Baptism in the name of Jesus and was formally baptized according to Matthew 28 verse 19? Can the person make heaven in this age? Everyone that will make heaven, God will cause you to hear it. You will hear it. You think you started hearing us from Benue State now by accident? It's not by accident. God designed it to be like that. And you are not the only one. All over the world, all around the world, God knows how to cause you to come across the truth. Either through this television or through some other evangelical activities of people who believe it. None of his will be lost. He knows where to fish them out from. God bless you. That is the doctrine of predestination or the doctrine of eternal security. And we have tried to teach it in this ministry. None of his will be lost. God bless you.
The Lord Church. Please, Pastor, I'm baptized here and I'm married. But I'm not yet wedded in the church. Can I receive Holy Communion?
Your marriage does not disturb your communion. It is your faith that disturbs communion. The only reason why you cannot take communion is because you have an unconfessed sin or you have not yet been baptized. Even if you are not married, your own better self, you marry. Pastor Francis, A.K., is always taking communion service. He's not married. Prophet Joseph is always taking communion. He's not married. Who again? Zoe, Obina Zoe, is always taking communion. He's not married. And there are brethren here, even women, that their husbands refuse. They are not even believers. But they take communion because salvation is a personal thing, not a joint something. God bless you. Daberechi Ede from Enugu again. Enugu people are watching us. Enugu people, clap your hands if you are from Enugu. You are from Enugu. He said, praise the Lord, church. I am an Ola member. My first question goes like this. I worship in Choosing Church. And you are also our online member. And I also baptized there. I want to know whether they practice correctly. Another one is, my church said that anybody that is into second marriage should come out from that marriage. And many homes have been broken because of that. In short, man of God, I am confused. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When it comes to choosing church, I am very, very careful. And many of you know why. Because they are our neighbors. And they are our very, very good neighbors. You see? So, we want to live peacefully with them. We don't want them to have the impression that we are having problem with them. I mean, do we have any problem with them? No problem. Praise the Lord. So, your question is not just for choosing, but for anybody that preaches that thing. Because not only choosing, Deeper Life too preaches the same thing. Concerning water baptism, choosing takes you inside the water, like all other churches. And we enter the water and repeat and recite Matthew 28 verse 19, baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and put you inside water and bring you out. They have not yet called the name. Therefore, that baptism is wrong. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus, according to the Bible. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus. That is the name for our redemption. That is the name we are to baptize. Not titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's a matter of understanding English there. Now, concerning marriage, yes, if you are already a Christian, you married, and you now, as a Christian, you went and carry another woman again to marry, that marriage is wrong. You must return that second woman you went to marry. If not, you are kicking yourself out of the will of God and out of the kingdom of God. But if you were already married to more than one wife before you came to Christ, you are not to put away any of them. You are to stay with them in Christ. That is the scriptural teaching. You cannot put that any of them away. They are your wives. You married them before you became a Christian. There are things you can restitute. It does not include that type of marriage. Because restitution is to return the woman to the estate she was when you met her. If she's not your wife, then she's somebody else's wife. And the thing that attracted you to her, you must return her to that estate so that her husband can also see her and be attracted to her. You have depreciated her. You have devalued her. Everything around her that is standing has fallen. Now you are saying that she is no more your wife. Whose wife is she? It's wrong. It's wrong, oh. The four of them, they are all your wives. Amen. The only thing that makes a woman not to be your wife, even if you married her as an unbeliever, is that you did not pay her dowry. If you didn't pay her dowry, she's not your wife. And you are not, after you have spent her, she has put all the children finished. Now you are hearing Pastor Moses. Then you go and tell her, Pastor Moses say you are not my wife. Oh. So please, I want to go to heaven. You should go. That's not what I mean. I mean you should go and correct that error. Go and pay. Go and pay. Go and pay. Sister, no come out. Oh. Stay there. Hold on. Go where? If this will like this, make I go. Go where? What are my children? Those of you who say the woman should go, it's not your wife. What of the children? The only thing the Bible teaches us is that that man cannot be a pastor. That man cannot be a minister of God. that man cannot be a bishop. That is what it means. That man cannot also be a deacon. Because the Bible says that a bishop, and a bishop is not Catholic bishop or Pentecostal bishop, not that bishop. The real bishop, bishop means a leader in the house of God. So, a pastor of a church is the bishop of that church. And a bishop must be a husband of one wife. Thus saith the Lord. A deacon must be husband of one wife. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if you have more than one wife, you cannot be a deacon, you cannot be a bishop. Thank you very much. You say, Sister Divine from Delta State, Nigeria, are sisters in this message supposed to go out to evangelize? I am asking because we sisters, we are told that our lives preach the word of God while the brothers go out to evangelize. Sister Divine from Capstone Tabernacle, Enter Message Church, worry. Praise the Lord. Every brother and sister, our lives are supposed to preach the gospel. Our lives, man or woman, our lives are supposed to preach the gospel. And concerning evangelism, every one of us, every believer, must evangelize. What is evangelism? Evangelism is to tell somebody about the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is that life is offered unto you. Look and live. Look to the cross. It's to tell people about the goodness of the Lord. It's to tell people about Christ. And you can do that anywhere you are. In your office, in your market, in the bus you are traveling, in the aircraft you are sitting down. Wherever you go, there is something around you that you can share out about the goodness of the Lord. Now, where the confused is, in the area where woman ministry is forbidden, Apostle Paul instructed, 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 11, 12, and 13 or so, that it permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think in verse 34 or so, it said, let the women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted for the woman to speak. It is in a setting of the church. Now, leadership position in the church is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, a pastor, and teacher. That office, they are the ones you ordain people into. They are the ones you ordain people into. And no woman is to be ordained into those offices. Therefore, no sister can answer evangelist. Nike Mobo. And no woman, even if you are the pastor's wife, Pastor Clara Alu. Pastor Mrs. Clara Alu. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. So, because the real office of an evangelist, he has his work to do outside. And the woman, her major ministry is the home. And when you have to abdicate your responsibility at home, because there is an anointing upon you to go and organize crusade somewhere, who will you leave the children for? Your husband, Abby? The Lord said, I should go to Okija for a 1 week program. So, then you will come, and then you will call Pastor Tom, honey, your wife is talking to you. Honey, I have to do my father's work. The feeding bottle is here. The ogi is here. Kerosene is here. The napping is here. So he goes to school early in the morning. I have to wake up and dress him in time. Then remember now, 1 o'clock, they bring the call from school. I am going to do my father's work. You are out of the will of God. God did not ordain you like that. That's why that office is not for the woman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, woman pastor, you are out of God's perfect will. God did not ordain any woman in the fivefold ministry. Show me that pattern in the Bible and I will follow you. I will agree. No such pattern. It's not coincidence that in the family of the Levites, God left them. Their own portion is in the temple. But Levi had daughters. But none of the daughters of Levi was a priestess. Only the men were ordained priests. And when we come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ did not call one woman among his 12 disciples. And even when Judas died, they did not replace him with a woman. There's a revelation there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Leadership, and Apostle Paul told us the reason why a woman cannot usurp authority over the man. It is wrong for a woman to stand on the pulpit and preach, giving instruction in righteousness to men. It is abomination as far as the Bible is concerned. But the woman is very anointed. The anointing there is not for the pulpit. The anointing there is not to stand and lead men. The anointing is genuine, but you should use it under the authority of a man. And so here, we have our sisters here that God uses. Mighty healing and deliverance. They even do counseling. When we close now, some sisters will be there to give you counsel. They have healing gifts. They have powerful prophetic gifts of the word of knowledge. They see vision. They hear voice. When they pray, God tells them things. But that does not make us to come and ordain them and make them sit down where the elders are sitting down. Lie. Apostle Paul said it should not be like that. Thank you. The last person, please.
Praise the Lord. My question is, Pastor, Psalm 53 said, the fool has already said in his heart that there's no God. God looked down from heaven to earth to see that if there's anyone that does good, no one does good. No one, all of them have turned aside and become corrupt. No one has the workers of iniquity. Then the second question I want to ask.
You have not asked the first one. What is your first question?
My first question say, the fool has already said in his heart that there's no God.
That's the question.
God looked down from heaven to earth to see that if there's anyone that does good, all of them have turned aside and become corrupt. No one does good. No, not one have the workers of iniquity. Then the second question that, why human being is suffering? Why God did not want human being to suffer? What caused it?
Why human beings are suffering?
Yes, why God did not want human being to suffer?
It's because...
What caused it?
Because our liberty and our peace and our enjoyment was sold to Satan in the Garden of Eden. So God now, in his mercy, is restoring us that thing that we lost in the Garden of Eden. He's restoring it through what he sent Jesus Christ to do on the cross of Calvary. That is why we are now in the restoration process of an agenda of God to bring us back to where we shall not suffer again. In the city where the Lamb is the light, the city where the common no light, I am a mansion over there. I will free from toil again. I am going where the light is the light.